You're holding five lines from the bottom on Zion and Bay. But we were talking about different things that can cause that there won't be rain. So here's another one. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says there's a pasuk in Tehillah that goes like this. Im keah habarzel, well, the whole pasuk goes like this. Im keah habarzel, if the iron is gold, v'hu leponim pilkal, the simple meaning of Rashi says on the pasuk over there means that its face, meaning its surface, is not shiny. Pilkal means shiny. And then the whole pasuk goes like this: in kei abarzel, if the iron is dull, v'hu leponim kilkal, and the surface of it is not bright, it's rusty. V'chayolim yigbar, nevertheless it makes the soldiers strong, like gives them confidence, the fact that they have a weapon, even if it's rusty and dull. V'yisrin hichshir chachma, but even an even greater thing is accomplished can be accomplished by chachma, as actually. Because the point is, Rashi says over there on the pasuk that it means even a rusty sword will give a soldier some confidence. But having a chacham, Rashi says over there, actually Rashi learns the word hichshir as being related to hishchir, like the time of chacham fasts and then afflicts himself in learning and whatever, and to the point where his face is black. That gives the soldier that helps the soldiers more with that than even having a weapon. And that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Here the Gemara is going to darshan it in a couple of different ways. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is im kei habarzel, if the iron is even if the iron, meaning the sword, is dull, v'hu leponim kilkal, and the surface of it is not shiny, v'chayolim yegbar, nevertheless it makes the soldiers strong, v'yisren hachshir chachma, but even greater thing is accomplished by the chacham's hachshir, by the chacham's fasts and learning and whatever. But here the Gemara is darshan it differently. If you see that the sky is dull like iron, that's not able to bring down dew and rain. There's a pasuk in the Torah that uses that metaphor, that the heavens will be like barzel, will be like iron. So here we're saying, so to speak, like the heavens are like a dull iron knife. That it's not a dull knife is not able to cut anymore, like it's too weak to cut. So like here, so to speak, the heavens are too weak to send down rain. Then that is Bishvil Maisei Ador Shein Mikol Kolin. The reason for that is because of the actions of the people, that generation, that they're messed up. Shenema, as the Pesuk says, who like Ponim Kilkal, that he doesn't have a face. Kilkal here with Tarshin, not Kilkal meaning as in the simple meaning, right, not in the simple meaning that Kilkal means bright and shiny, but rather the other way around, Kilkal, messed up, corrupt, yeah. Marshall explains, so where does the word v'hu leponim come in over there? Because it means basically that they aren't davening properly. They're not turning their faces towards Hashem. He quotes from the Targum over there. Anyway, so far we have in kei habarzel, the iron is dull, v'hu leponim kilkal, because the people are corrupt. Matakanosan, so how do they fix it up? Yisgabru b'rachmim, they should increase in rachmim, which either means, most Mepharshim say it means that they should increase in davening to the Eivishter, to ask for rachamim. There are some of the Mepharshim and Eniach would say rather that it means they should increase in rachamim towards each other. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'chayolim yigbar, the chayolim should be stronger. Chayolim, either we're explaining the word chayolim comes from the word chil, which means davening, like a chil olokel, or that it means v'chayolim, Marsha says, it means specifically tefillah b'tzibur. Chayolim means like armies. Like when you have a whole army of people davening, that's more powerful than just individuals. But then the pasuk continues, v'yisra and hichshir chachma, even better, it would be even better and more proper with chachma, meaning koshken and pukhtama, saying me'ikra, they'd be even better off if their deeds were proper, were kosher to begin with. Like this, where they had to go through the situation where the heavens were, where no rain was falling, and then yisgabru b'rachmim, fine, at least, you know, they've salvaged the situation. They would have been better off if they hadn't had to do that in the first place.
So mach is even more important than the chachma.
Well, the chachma, though they should have had the chachma to have kosher ma'isim. Yeah, we said that yesterday. Also, that ma'isim. Yeah, with one of the mafarshim in any act of Avas Eisan relates this to what we learned in Rosh Hashanah, which we're actually going to talk about later on in our Gemara as well. That there can be a case where the people were Rishoyim Rosh Hashanah time. The Eivishter decided they're only going to get a small amount of rain. In the end, they do tshuva. Instead of ripping up the Gzar Din and making that there should be more rain, the Eivishter just makes that whatever rain does fall doesn't go to waste. It falls in the right places.
They not only do tshuva towards
the Eivishter,
they do
tshuva
between
themselves. If it's Beinar Machaber,
yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that over here they would have been better off if they had been good to the in the first place, because then they would have been Gzar Din for plenty of rain. Like this, they didn't do good, so they ended up with Gzar Din for only a very little rain, but at least they're able to fix it up by Yisgabru B'rachmim. They can at least, yeah.
So
now. But like we were saying, Kolchakin, they would have been better off if they hadn't been in that situation to begin with, because then they'd have plenty of full reign. Yeah.
They say two, there's still.
So we're saying there's three possibilities. One is that they don't have reign at all. Two is that they have reign, but they have just enough, exactly where it needs to be. And number three is, in Kolchakin, my family, Carter, if they were good to begin with, then they would have plenty full reign and there wouldn't be an issue.
So my question was, if there's not enough reign, but there is some reign, can they go even further to get all the rain back that they needed?
So it depends. I mean, when that's, we talked about in Rosh Hashanah, if there's a Gzar Din for very little rain, but then they do tshuva, if it's possible that little rain can manage, that people can manage with that situation, as long as the rain falls exactly in the places it needs to, then that's what the Eved will do. We'll talk about that on Chesam Beis as well. Another meaning of the pasuk, Reish Lakish Omar, Im ra'is a Talmud shalimudei kasha olav kabarzel, if you see a Talmud whose learning is as hard as iron to him. Meaning, in other words, in those days, what it means is like this. No, but here we're talking about the negative thing. What we mean is like this. There's two different kinds of learning. There's Mishnah and there's Talmud or Gemara. Mishnah is basically learning the basic halachas, like we have in our Mishnah. Talmud or Gemara is learning the reasoning behind it, you know, the bread and butter of what we learn as Gemara. The reasoning behind it, when it applies and when it doesn't, the sources for it, etc. You know, if you think of it, for example, in terms of like when a person learns Shulchan Aruch nowadays, Mishnah would be the equivalent of like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or the Pnim of the big Shulchan Aruch. Gemara would be the equivalent of the Mefarshim on it, that delve into the details. So now what you have is you have a situation over here, you have a Talmud who has his learning is hard for him, meaning he's constantly, he has all kinds of questions and difficulties that he can't resolve in his learning. Is it Gemara? The reason is because his Mishnah is not properly arranged by him, meaning he hasn't properly learned the Mishnayos. So therefore, for example, he has wrong Girsais, he thinks the Mishnah says you chayev on something when really you're potter, and that makes him that he can't understand how that fits with something else that he learned. He's confused, in other words, because he doesn't have the basics. He's missing the basic facts. Shenema, Ula Ponim Kilkal. Again, we darshan the same pasuk. He doesn't have Ponim, and therefore Kilkal, therefore he messed up. How does Ponim refer to Mishnah? Rashi says Ponim is Meloshin Lefonim, before, because Mishnah has to come before Gemara. Rabbi Nachmanal puts it a little differently. Rabbi Nachmanal and Rabbi Nachman put it a little differently. That Shaloi Hera Ponim b'Mishnah. That he didn't. He didn't show his face properly to learn the Mishnayot. The Behulei Ponim. In other words, when you learn Torah properly, it's called that the Hera Ponim. That you show the face of it. Like you're demonstrating how you're showing how to learn it. Like this, he doesn't, because he doesn't know his Mishnayos properly. My Takante, how should he fix it up? Yavu be yeshiva. He should increase his amount of time in the yeshiva. He should make sure that he's learning that he increases his learning of Mishnayos. Shenema v'chayolim yigbar, again, from the same pasuk, the armies become stronger. You have to make sure that you have a whole army of Bnei HaYeshiva who are learning Mishnayos together.
Who's saying that the one who does and
Because he's lacking in the Mishnah. That's what we're saying. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't know the basics, then you're not going to. Yeah.
No. You can still know the basics and have weakness tomorrow.
No, but we're talking about Shilimudei Kasha Olav Kabarzel. Again, that's why Rashi says the Kasha Olav Kabarzel is he's full of questions and contradictions and all because he doesn't understand, because he doesn't know the basic facts. And the Yisrin Hichshul Chachma, again, the pasuk continues, even better is to be prepared with wisdom, which means Kol Shekein Mishnatis, Dura Lema Ikra, all the better, he'd be better off if his Mishnah was well organized by him in the first place, that he wasn't making this mistake. Kihadir Rish Lakish, like we find Rish Lakish did. Have Masadir Masnis and Abayinzim, then he used to review the Mishnayos, or the Braises, 40 times, connected Memyam Shinit and Torah, corresponding to the 40 days that the Torah was given to Moshe, and then Ba'ayala Kameh Rabbi Yechanan. Only then would he come in to learn by Rabbi Yechanan Gemara, to discuss the give and take on the Mishnayos that he had learned. So this way he made sure not to make this mistake. Not the whole Mishnah, the relevant Mishnayos, the Pashto said, yeah. Similarly, Rabbi Adar Ba'ava, Masadim Masnis, and Esther Ba'ava Zimnin, Rabbi Adar Ba'ava would prepare his Mishnah 24 times, corresponding to the 24 books of Tanakh, Ba'ayala Kameh D'Rabba, and then he would come into Rabba to start learning Gemara. Same idea. Meaning number three of this pasuk, Rava Amar, Imra Isa Talmud Shalimudei Kasha Olav Kabarzel, if you see a Talmud whose learning is difficult to him like iron, so before we were saying, we're talking about that he doesn't know his stuff. because he's mixed up on the Mishnayos. Here we're talking about a different kind of he's not learning, but something else, right? The reason is b'shvil rabba sheinim mazvir leiponim. The reason is because his rebbe is not showing him a kindly face. Sheinim v'hu leiponim kilkel. He doesn't have a ponim, and therefore kilkel he messes up. My takante. So what should he do to fix it up? Yaga olav reim. He should increase the number of friends who come along with him to ask mechila by the rebbe. Why is the rebbe showing him a sour face? Because he doesn't have, because he's not acting with derech eretz towards the rebbe. So gather together a bunch of talmidim to go ask mechila by the rebbe. Shenema v'yachayolim yigbar, as it says, increase, strengthen with the number of soldiers. And the Yisrael Hichshav Chachma, again, would be better off with being prepared with Chachma, meaning again, Koshkenim Hukshav Maisim B'fnei Rabbe Me'ikra, where he'd be all the better if his deeds were proper in front of his Rebbe in the first place and not have to get himself into this situation. V'Amar Rabbami. Rabbami says another thing. My Dichtiv, what does it mean? It says the next pasuk, the next pasuk after this one in Kehelet, goes like this. Im Yishech HaNachash B'loi Lachash, if the snake bites without a charm, then there's no advantage to the one who has the tongue. The simple meaning of it, in context, in Pesukim, in Kehelet over there, it actually explains what it means is like this. Suppose you have a snake charmer. So he knows how, you know, he has dangerous snakes around, poisonous snakes, but he knows how to charm them so they don't bite. What happens? He doesn't bother doing his charms. So the snakes go out and harm people. It's his fault, basically. Ein Yisrael in the Baal HaLashon, he who has the ability to charm these snakes, didn't use it. So, like, well, you know, what good is he doing to the world then? Here we're darshaning it like this. Imre Isadur, if you see a generation, Shashamayim Mistakin Kenachoshes, that they're the Mishtakin, actually, that the heavens are becoming rusty, like copper. So we're darshaning the word Yishoich, which means to bite, Meloshin in Aramaic, Shoch, Shinchof, means to become rusty. Shin Sofchov, actually, the Shosich. Mishtakin means they become rusty. So to speak, like you have, for example, you know, if you have a copper utensil that you haven't used for a while, it becomes rusty. So to speak, like the idea is the heavens are not accomplishing their usual job of sending down rain, so like they're rusty from disuse. So we're doubting the word Yishai Hanachash as being related to the word Mishtakin Kenchoshes. Rusty like copper. And here it's again, there's two Tosafos in the Torah, one in Bechukosai, one in Kisavoi. The one in Bechukosai is Eivishta speaking in first person, and there he says, V'nasati et shmeichan kabaros, I'll make your heavens like iron, meaning that there won't be any rain at all. That was what we were saying before, if the heavens are like rusty iron, or like dull iron, actually, we said. Here we're talking about the second one from Kisavoi, where Moshe is speaking the Klolos in Hashem's name, saying that the heavens will be like copper. Which actually explains that a copper at least sweats a little bit, so there will be like a tiny bit of rain. But that's basically what we mean over here, is like even that little bit of copper, even that little bit of rain that should be coming, is not. So if the copper is rusty, so it's not bringing down dew and rain, the reason is, because there is nobody in that generation who knows how to whisper tefillin. Whispered, well, when we dive into an answer, we whisper, right? Now, why talk? And before I should explain what's the connection. We learned yesterday that one reason why rain fails to come is because of azeponim, because people are chutzpedik. Now, one reason why we dive in a whisper is not to be chutzpedik in front of Hashem. Or specifically, especially when we're, you know, in Shemin Esrei, we say slachlonu, we're confessing our averis. You know, a person can add, actually, in slachlonu, a confession for their own private averis. You don't want to be azeponim about it, but everybody should know about it. You're flaunting your averis. Therefore, we daven quietly. So in order to counteract the azeponim, you can need people who know the meaning of davening quietly, so the meaning of not showing azeponim. A different explanation, we learned at the very end yesterday that another reason why rain might not come is because of gezel, because of chomos, and we said that they have to increase their davening, we said they have to el tefillah. So one explanation some Mephoshim say is that you have all these people who've been robbed are crying out to the Eivishter. Like you need more crying out, you need more crying out in tefillah to counteract that. But on the other hand, over here, what we're saying is it should be a situation. There aren't people crying out because of the injustice done to them. So now what you need is quiet tefillah. Yes. Yeah. So they should go to somebody who knows how to whisper. So far we have the pasuk is saying if the coppery heavens are rusty, then the reason is v'loy lachash, because there's no whispering, there's no whispered davening. No, that's according to that one explanation, right? The point is, yeah. And how do we know that you're supposed to daven for it? Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, yagid olav reyoy, his friend should tell about him. This is there's a section in Iyov that discusses the whole process of rain coming. Some of the psukim we've been quoting are from that. Some of the psukim we've been quoting from Iyov are from that section. It's part of Elihu ben Barachel's speech from Sefer Iyov. So there's a pasuk over there that goes yagid olav reyoy, his friend should tell about him. Mikne af al oila. We'll dash in the second half of the pasuk. Mikne af al oila soon. But so far we're saying yagud olav reyoy, his friend, meaning the people in the generation who are not a daven on behalf of everybody else, should be speaking on, should be telling on their behalf, should be telling the Eibishter what they need. There needs to be teshuva as well. But we're saying over here that there's no loshi lechishus. There's nobody who knows how to daven properly. So you need somebody who knows how to daven properly. Then the pasuk continued, "Ve'en yisur in levala loshen," that there's no advantage to the master of the tongue. This is the second half of that pasuk from Kehelet. What does that part mean? If there is somebody in that generation who knows how to whisper tefillas and he doesn't, mahana yeshloy, then what good is he accomplishing? He ends up suffering along with everybody else. So that's the ve'en yisur in levala loshen. Then the imlochash v'lenana, what if he whispered his tefillah and was still not answered? Then what do you do to correct it? Yelech it's a chassid shabadur, then you should go to the chassid of the generation, the yagba olav b'tefillah, and that chassid should increase the amount of davening that he does for him. So first you go to the loshe lechishes, the people who know how to daven with a sense of sneers and the opposite of azaz fondim, etc. If that doesn't work, then you have to go to a chassid. As we'll have, for example, in the third parak, the story when they went to Choni Amagel. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vayitzav olayah b'mafkiyah." He commands that this is the end of that same pasuk. Yagid. It's not the end of the same pasuk. Yagid olavrei. Sorry, it's the end of a previous pasuk that we said, "Akapayim kisar," that we quoted yesterday. So, "Vayitzav olayah b'mafkiyah." The Eibishter commands upon it b'mafkiyah because of mafkiyah. And what does that mean? Ve'en pgiyah elat filo. Like we said yesterday, the word pgiyah means davening. Shenema, va'atal tisbal ba'adam azel. Like the Eibishter says to Yirmiyahu, don't you daven for these people? Ba'altisa ba'adam rino filo. Don't raise up a cry and a tefillah for them. Val tifka be and don't tifka. And we see that pagia again means davening.
Why a chassid and why not a
tamid chacham? We're saying you need beyond. You need beyond the tamid chacham. We're saying we need beyond the tamid chacham. A chassid is somebody who goes with nimishur as a din. I mean, of course, he can be a tamid chacham also. We'll learn in the story of Choni Ma'agol that eventually, after his 70 years sleep, they said, they were talking about what a great tamid chacham he was in his times. You know, he was a tamid, but you have to be beside the tamid chacham. You have to be a chassid. And the im lochash also be yadei. What happens going back to before you went to the chassid? So we said, what happens if the lochash lechisha is if the guy who's whispering tefillahs doesn't get answered, then you go to the chassid, right? Tzav olav mafkia. What happens now? This person who was whispering the tefillahs, if he did get answered, the im lochash also be yadei. If he whispered his tefillahs, and sure enough, it came up in his hands, he was answered with rain. But then umegis daita olav. But then he becomes proud of that accomplishment. Maybe afla olam. Then he brings anger to the world. Shenema is the continuation of the pasuk about Yagil Olav Reyoy. It continues, Mikne af al oila. The simple meaning of it is something like the Mikne, the cattle on the fields are able to tell when the rain is coming. But here we're darshaning Mikne, he acquires af, anger, al oila because he went up, because he's thinking of himself too highly.
Yom Kippur, didn't we say Rosh Hashanah? Ha'oni
b'lachash? Ha'oni b'lachash, right. The Eibishter answers whispered tefillahs, yeah.
So,
right, but we have to make sure then not to be megis daita. There's a vort from the Baal Shem Tov quoted in Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Why the Baal Lechisha himself, the one who davened, became proud. Why is the Eibishter angry la'olam at the whole world? He says because why would such a person be proud? Because he has this accomplishment, he has this accomplishment, the ability to daven that nobody else has. It shouldn't be that way. It should be that everybody knows how to daven that way. And if they did, he'd have nothing to be proud of, because everybody would be able to do that. The fact that they don't, the fact that he's the only one who knows how to, and therefore that leads him to pride, the Eibishter is upset with the rest of the generation. Why don't you know how to do this yourself? Why do you have the one tzaddik shabadur who knows how to do that? Rav Amar, there's another...
by Goldberg and from Lemon. They used to daven in a way that was extraordinarily beautiful.
Sure. Yeah.
And also, I'm guessing that that would also appeal to all the things like, oh, I'm the only one worried around where I am.
Simon, yeah.
And that's the area.
Yeah.
If I'm the only one doing amazing things,
I guess.
So we're in
I'm
the
sure,
area.
Yeah. Rabba Amar, here's another meaning of this pasuk, Mikna Af Alayla. Shnei Tamar Chachamim Sheyoshin Be'irachas. If you have two Tamar Chachamim living in one city, Ve'ein Noichin Zelazeh B'Halacha, and they don't get along with each other in Halacha, which means, no, it doesn't mean that they argue in Halacha. They're allowed to do that. Rashi, they don't get along, and therefore they don't learn Halacha together. Therefore, each one ends up learning by himself. Niskanin Ba'af, they cause jealousy of anger, and they bring it up into the world. Shanema, as the pasuk said, Mikne af al oila. They acquire anger al oila and comes up. Rashi has a second explanation that's the other way around. That the Gemara said that the pasuk is saying a positive thing. If you have two Tamar Chachamim in the town who do get along and learn together, then on the contrary, Miskanim Ba'af, they are jealous against the anger, meaning they remove the anger from the world. Like they're jealous against it and they force it away. They force the Eibush's anger out of the world. Mishnah Falayla. Yeah. Amar Ishlokish. My dichtiv. What does it mean? It says in the pasuk, this pasuk that we quoted before. Im yishach hanachash v'loy lachash. If the snake bites without a whisper, ve'en yisrin v'ala lashon, then there's no advantage to the master of the tongue. What does that mean? La'asid lavei miskabtis v'loy kolachayis eitzon nachash. In the future, all the wild animals are going to gather together to discuss things with the snake. They're going to say like this. Listen, you have, for example, Ari Doris V'Oichel. A lion claws its prey and then it eats it. What Doris means exactly is a few different explanations in different Rishonim, but whatever it is, however a lion eats his food. Whether Doris means that he eats it alive or whether it means that he holds it down while he's eating it. This is Negeya in Halacha when we talk about that a bird that's Doris is chased. It becomes relevant to know what the word Doris means. Anyway. One of the four simonim of a tray for bird is that's dirtus. So what the definition of dirtus is, there's a few different definitions. Anyway, za'ev tardif v'oichol, a wolf tears the carcass apart and then eats it. So any wild animal that damages, at least it has a purpose in doing it. It needs to eat. Ataman aleichlecha. But you, what are you gaining out of you bite people, and kill them. It's not like you, it's not.
We're speaking
to the snake. What does the snake accomplish by biting a person? Not like he's going to eat him. On the lahem, and used to the Bala Lashon. So he tells them, okay, well, what advantage does the Bala Lashon, meaning somebody who speaks Lashon Hara even when he doesn't have Hana? So the Eibishter arranges that he gets dealt with by a snake who also bites without really getting any benefit out of it. Marsha explains the what they're asking the snake is basically that the Eibishter made it that who Yishuv Chorosh Pasuk Yifener Akiv that you have that snakes can bite people, but it doesn't mean they have to. So why do you have to? And he's saying because the same way as so why do people have to speak Lashon Hara when they don't have to? Yeah.
It's just so juicy.
Amar Rabami, Ein Tefilasu Shel Adam Nishmat. Person's tefillah is not heard, is not listened to. Elam Kin Mesim Nachshei B'Kafei. Unless he places his nefesh in his hands. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Nisa l'vavenu al kapayim." We will lift up our hands. We will lift up our hearts to our hands. So, what does that mean? Putting your nefesh in your hands. So Rashi says that it means that. Some mepharshim say it means what you're doing with your hands has to match what you're thinking in your heart, and vice versa. With your thinking, you're davening with your heart. You have to make sure your hands are clean, like we talked yesterday about Gezel. You mean yeah, but it means the other way around also. It means you're lifting up your hands in tefillah towards Shemayim because that's how they used to have in those days with their hands outstretched. Your nefesh, your neshama should also be focused completely on Hashem. There are some mafoshim who say that they point out that in Tanakh the word nachshei b'kafei usually means like a person putting his life at risk. So here it means the same kind of thing. A person has to be willing to go on mesiras nefesh for his tefillah to be answered. And some of the mafarshim say a word that we hear a lot in Mesiris, that it doesn't necessarily mean literal Mesiris Nefesh, Mesiris Harasin, that a person is willing to give away his own desires for the sake of Eibishter. Anyway. The Gemara asks, "Any? Is that so?" V'ha'okim Shmuel Amora Aleva Darash. But one time Shmuel, a point, set up an Amora in front of him, which is what they used to do in those days when they were giving a Darasha, like to announce the Darasha to everybody. The Darash, and he Darashin as follows. The Pasuk says in Tillim, "Vayefatur b'fiem." The Jewish people, they so to speak, tricked him with their tongues. U'v'loshonim yichaz v'loy, and with their mouths. U'v'loshonim yichaz v'loy. And with their tongues they lied to him. Their hearts are not correct with him. They're not faithful to his bris. The apple pekanin. Nevertheless, the pasuk continues. Is merciful and he forgives avedus. So what is it? You're saying that nisav avena or kapayim, that you have to be sincere in your davening. But we see here that even if people are not sincere, by fatur b'fiem, nevertheless, the answer is like kasha. Have yachid have tzibur. It's not a question. One is talking about a yachid, one's talking about a tzibur. A yachid, yes, he has to make sure that he's sincere when he davens. A tzibur, less so. A tefillah tzibur, it says in Shulchan Aruch, a tefillah tzibur is always, the Eibishter always listens to. Hen kel kabir v'lo yimah. This is why the importance of davening the tzibur. The Tzemach Tzedek even has a tshuva on the whole issue of, we know that if you come late to shul, there's certain parts of davening that you should skip in order to catch up, in order to daven Shemana Esrei with the tzibur. And the Tzemach Tzedek discusses the pros and cons of it. The reason is based on this, because the tefillah of a tzibur is so important.
The whole tefillah or the Shemana
Esrei? Generally, when we say tefillah, we mean specifically Shemana Esrei, but yeah. Amar Rabami. Ain't Gishamim Yod and Elabashvil Bale Amona.
Even the Halel?
No, Halel is after Shemana Esrei. Anyway, right. We're not talking about that. Right. No, and Sukkot is Imra primarily, yeah. Amar Abami, Ain't Gishamim Yod and Elabashvil Bale Amona. Rain only falls because of people who are honest, people who have trust. Shanema, Emes Me'eret Titzmach, truth sprouts up from the ground. But Tzedek, Mishamayim Nishkaf, and Tzedek, that the Ebishter gives righteousness, which is rain. Mishamayim Nishkaf looks down from heaven, which is because rain is a tzedakah to people. V'Amar Rabami, Boyerei Kama Gdolim Balei Amana. Come and see how great are people who have emuna, who keep their word, who are trustworthy. Minayin Mechulder Ubar. We see that from the story of the weasel and the pit. So what is this story? So the Gemara doesn't elaborate, because evidently in those days it was a well-known story. Rashi gives one version of the story, or Rashi, or whoever wrote this Pirush over here, because like we said at the beginning of the Masechta, not necessarily it's from Rashi. Tosfos gives a bit more of a longer version, and the Aruch gives a really long, elaborate version. The gist of it is that a certain young man saved a young woman from a pit that she had fallen into. Actually, Rashi doesn't even mention the part about falling into a pit. Yeah. Rashi just says that he gave his pledge to a certain young lady. She used to enter that he'd marry her. Tosfos brings a version that she had fallen into a well, and the Aruch also brings that she was all dressed up. She fell into a well. Though the Bacher comes by and has a real taiva for her, so he schleps her out, and then he wants to get it on with her right then. She says, she talks him out of that, basically, but she says, fine, you want to marry me in the future, fine. Right now, there's no Edom around. According to Rashi's version, they just, they pledged to her, but there's no Edom around. Whatever it is, there was a pit there, and there was a chulda, there was a weasel passing by. So the Bacher says, fine, the pit and the weasel will be the Edom. They go their separate ways. They go their separate ways. The Bacher forgets all about the whole story. He winds up marrying somebody else. Tosfos had brought the version that it's not just that they gave their word, they actually swore to each other that they're going to marry each other. And the Aruch's version also has that. Anyway, the Bacher forgets all about it. He goes, marries somebody else. She stays single. In the Aruch's version, she actually, to prevent people are coming to her to suggest Shiduchim, she pretends to be crazy until this Bacher will show up. Anyway, So what happens anyway? The Bacher now he's not Bacher anymore. He's married, has two children. One of them falls into a pit and dies, and the other one gets bitten by a weasel and dies. So his wife says to him, "What's going on over here?" And these are very unusual things. He tells her the whole story. She says, "In that case, then you're right. You have to marry her. You have to keep your promise." Obviously, the Edom are getting back at you for breaking your promise. So they divorced, and he went looking for the girl. And in the Aruch's version, sure enough, they tell him the girl's crazy. He says, "That's fine. I pledged to her. I'm going to marry her." And it turns out, of course, she's not crazy after all. She was waiting for him. Yeah. Anyway,
that's a terrible story, but
yeah. So anyway,
in those times, and was I would have to guess, yeah, it wouldn't be something that many men, even those times when they did allow many multiple marriages, could do it. And it's
so
still a lot of...
Yeah. It, no, Oroch. The
well,
paper
the society he lived in. Certain societies he didn't, there's no polygamy.
Right.
Well, no,
that also.
You still have to give the women attention. And
yeah,
money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
You have to, afford it first of all. Anyway, no, let's not get off topic over here. No. Well, ma mamin becholder barkach. So how, if somebody who believes in a weasel in a pit, then you see that the thing comes true no matter what. Hamamin b'kadosh baruch hu. Someone who trusts in Eved shalach as kama v'kama that his emuna will be rewarded. So we see from that how great emuna is. That,
yeah, but I mean the pit and the weasel were exactly the Eved
shter. No, of course. What we're saying, in other words, like they didn't mention they didn't say the Eved shter is an aid or whatever. She just, you know, the weasel in the pit. So yeah. There's also an explanation that's given when we say that rain comes before Balei Amona, it also refers to the fact people who have Amunah and plant. We talked about the other day, we had the story from Yoel's times where people were planting their last seed, or what they thought were their last seed. But even in general, the person plants. The Gemara says in the Tosfos Brings and Shabbos, from a Yerushalmi, Mamin B'chei Ha'olam V'Zereya, that a person all the time, whenever they plant, it's an act of trust in Hashem. So a person trusts in Eved, and Eved rewards it.
And then doesn't say that there were no more Balei Amunah at a certain point?
Certain point, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Amar Rav Yechanan, kol ha-matzdik as atzmei milamata, anybody who makes himself a tzaddik below, matzdikin olav ha-din milamayla. They make the din just against the milamayla. What does that mean? Rashi says it means like this, where he's, it means matzdik atzmei means he makes himself a tzaddik, he's acting properly. Then matzdikin olav means the Eivishter acts with him with strict justice, medaksakim with kachot ha-saira. The Eivishter judges him to a hair's breadth. Marsha says differently. Marsha says that what it means is, if you have a person who says on himself, you know, I deserve to have such and such bad thing happen to me as punishment for my averus, then the attack happens. That's why we always say, just a fellow son. Shenema, as the pasuk says, we're actually in the same pasuk a different way. Emes me.
That is really very rigorous.
So that Rashi's explanation is he's very rigorous in his minutes. Shemachshu makashat ma'isav. Marshaw is that he says on himself that like I deserve to have such and such happen to me. Shenema, as the pasuk says, emeth me'eretz tizmach, truth sprouts from the ground, but tzedek m'shamayim nishkaf, and tzedek looks down from heaven. So there's a reciprocation over there. Rav Chiya ba'oven amar Rav Huna mehacha. We learn this from a different pasuk. Uchir ascha ever secha. Like your fear is your anger, meaning the one who fears Hashem is the one who gets dealt with more Hashem's anger in order to clean up his averus. That's what, why is the Eved medaktik and tzedekim v'chol b'sayra? Because you want to get rid. The Eved wants to get rid of any little averus that he has. So you should have uninterrupted olam haba. Rish Lakish Amar Mehacha. Rish Lakish says I have a third pasuk that proves the same point. Pasuk from Yeshaya. Pagata es sos v'ois tzedek. You attacked pagata maloshin v'yifka boi v'yomos. You attacked. As sus v'ois tzedek, the one who was happy to do good, to do tzedek, do righteousness. Vidrachecha yazkirucha, they mention you in your ways, meaning even when you do bad to them, they mention you. They acknowledge that it's from you, that they gamzul tova, etc. They say heinata katzafta v'nechta, behold, you were angry, but we sinned. V'hem olam v'nivashea, and through them we will be saved in the world, meaning in the next world, in olam haba. So this is, we see that there you have the tzaddik is machzik all of a sadin, even though pagata is sus, even though he's being attacked by the Eved, he acknowledges hey natsa katzach tava nechta and that it's doing good for us in Adam Hava. Pagata, I just explained the pasuk. Do I need to explain it again? Yeah. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, another meaning. Kol asameach be yisurim shabayin olav. If somebody is happy when yisurim come on him, because he realizes the purpose of them, maybe Yeshua olam, he brings a saving to the world. Shenema, the pasuk finished. Vahem olam v'nimashaya. With them, the world is saved. So the first meaning we said is that the person realizes that he's being saved. Olam haba. He was saying it saves the world around him. Amar Rish Lakish, my dichtiv otzer es hashamayim. What does it mean when the pasuk says he'll stop up the heavens? Why are we talking about it in terms of stopping up? When the heavens are stopped up, that no dew or rain falls, Marsha talks about whether we should say two over here, because we said Talmud and Netzer anyway. Doimala issues Chabelas Vena Yoledes. It's like a woman who's having birth pains, having contractions, but she's not giving birth. And this goes together with what Rish Lakish said in the name of Bakapara. Nemra Asira Bagshamim and Nemra Asira Baisha. It's the pasuk uses the word Asira, stopping up by rain, and it says the word Asira when it comes to a woman giving birth. And how do we see? Nemra Asira Baisha. She Nemra Ki also Hashem Ba'ad Korechem. It says Hashem stopped up in front of every womb. This is in with Abimelech when he kidnapped Sarah. So we see that rain, in that sense, is like a woman giving birth. Similarly, we have the other stages of the process also. Nemra later beisha, v'nemra later b'kshamim. The pasuk refers to rain as to a woman as giving birth, and it speaks of rain as a giving birth. Nemra later beisha just about tayva kele ben. She became pregnant, she gave birth. V'nemra later b'kshamim v'chiv v'hilida v'hitzmicha. The rain comes down v'hilida, and it makes the earth give birth v'hitzmicha and grow. As we said the other day, the rain is like the husband of the earth. It fertilizes. It says the word pkida that the Eibishter remembers, is mindful of, when it comes to a woman. But and it says pkida when it comes to rain. It says Hashem remembered Sarah. And it says pkida when it comes to rain. You remembered, you were mindful of the earth, and you satisfied its thirst. Rabas Tashrena, you make it very rich. Pelagilikim Molemayim, the channel of Hashem, which is full of water. My Pelagilikim Molemayim, what does that last phrase mean about the channel? Tana, we learn in a Braith, it means Kuba Yeshbarakia. There is something like a tent in Shemayim. Shemimena, Shemim Yotzin, that's from it, rain comes out. So like that's the channel that we're talking about that's full of water. We'll talk about on Testament Bays and Yudam and Aleph. The Gemara is going to talk about where does rain actually come from? There's going to be a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on the subject.
It just
sounds
huge. The man
can
walk through in the
yard. Amar B'shmo Menachmeni, what does it mean? There's another pasuk from Eiyov, another one in the section of Sukkim that's talking about rain. Im l'shevet, if for a stick like a stick to beat with. Im la'artzoi, or for his land, im la'chesed, or for chesed, yamtzeihu, he will make it available. What does that mean? Im la'shevet, if the rain is coming down, if the rain is coming down harshly, and it like a stick, then it'll come down on the mountains and on the hills. What does this mean? And this goes back to what we were mentioning before, what we learned in Rosh Hashanah, that there can be a situation where the Jewish people were Rishoyim when it came to Rosh Hashanah, and then afterwards they did Tshuva. So like this, for example, there can be a case that Rosh Hashanah time, so before we talked about the idea that there can be, the Eibishter determined that there's going to be very little rain, and then when they do Tshuva, then the Eibishter makes sure that little rain goes exactly where it needs to. You were saying, what if the Gzeira was, there should be a lot of rain, and it should be a very harsh rain. It should hit the ground like sticks. The kind that would usually flood. So what did the Eibishter do if they did Tshuva? Then instead, the Eibishter makes that harsh rain, that heavy rain, fall on the mountains and the hills. That way, nobody's harmed by it. Im l'chesed, if it's for kindness, meaning that the rain is coming, that the Eibishter decided the rain should come gently. Yamtzeihu la'artzai, then he'll make it available to his land. Meaning the sodis of akrama, meaning in the actual land where people live, on the fields and on the vineyards. And Marsha asks, actually, what we have here is kind of three different things, because the pasuk had mentioned three alternatives, L'shevet and L'artzai and L'chesed. L'shevet would be, again, where they were Rishoyim to begin with, then they did Tshuva, so they wish to make sure that heavy rain falls where it won't harm anybody. Im L'chesed is the other way, where they were good to begin with, and Im L'artzai is the middle ground. They were Beninim, and now they're still Beninim, so fine, the rain falls in the normal way on the land, as it usually would. Another meaning, im l'shevet le'ilonos, if the rain is falling hard, then it's good for then it's for the trees. Im l'arzo, if it's falling gently on the land, if it's falling on the land, then it's good l'zroyim for the seeds. They can't a heavy rain is no good for them. They need a moderate rain. Im l'chesed, and if it's for kindness, if the Eibishter wants to do a real kindness for the people, then and if for chesed he makes it available, is birdus shichin amiris. Then it'll be enough to even fill up the wells and the pits and the cisterns and pits and the wells. Meaning,
that for that you kind of need a very heavy rainfall. We learn in the story of Choni Ma'agol that at one point, when Choni davens that we need a rainfall that'll fill up the pits, and all of a sudden this big huge heavy rainfall starts falling. So what happens is that if the Eibishter wants to do everybody a real favor, wants to do a real chesed, then he'll bring a rain that's strong enough that not only it waters the grass and trees and plants and whatnot, it fills up everything, and that way you have water to spare. Yes. I'm going to tell the story. B'mei Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni have a kafna umoisana. In the times of Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni, one time there was a famine as well as a plague. There are two problems. Amri, so they said, Hechi Navid, what should we do now? Should we daven and ask Rachmanis for both things? Lo yefshir, you can't. Because as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines, you're not supposed to daven for two things at a time. Now, why not? What are you talking about? So they just can't do two things at a time. They just can't multitask. We ask for many things together in Shemana Esrei. So there's a couple of different answers that are given. One of them is when you're asking Hashem for pure unearned chen, you're pleading with Hashem for an unearned favor, then yes, you should ask for only one thing at a time. When you're davening normally, obviously everything the Eibishter gives us is unearned because there's nothing, ultimately in chatos matifa bay, etc. But still, there's a certain kind of thing where we daven, where so to speak, like we deserve certain things and we're entitled to ask for them. So then yes, you can ask for as many things as you need to at a time. But not deserve, but like we need these things. Yeah, okay. Whatever, but here we're talking about where you're asking for something as a pure chesed, as a pure chen, then you should only ask for one at a time. Different explanation is also that specifically over here, we're saying there were two gzeiros, there were two killing things going on, the famine and the famine and the plague. It means it's a real time of serious gzardin. So therefore, work on one thing at a time. There's only, like, so to speak, at a time like that, there's only so much rachmanos of the Eibishter to go around. So we can't ask for both. Elo, they figured, the boy rachmi amoisana. So fine, let's dive in and ask Rachmanos that the plague should stop. Kafna nisbel, and we'll manage with the famine. Amalu Rav Shmuel Nachmeni says, no, you have it backwards. Ni boy rachmi a kafna. We should ask for Rachmanos that the famine should end. And automatically, then people will stop dying. D'chiyoi Rachmanos seiva, when the Eibishter gives a plenty, l'chayehu d'yoiv, he gives it to the living. This is the source of the famous expression that the Rebbe used to quote all the time, Man di yoiv chai yoiv mezoni. The Eibishter who gives life also gives mezonis, also gives sustenance. In the famous sikha of the Rebbe, for example, about family planning, he talked about that people think we have to plan our families because otherwise we're not going to have parnasa. The Rebbe says you have the cause and effect backwards. We see over here that when the Eibishter who gives life gives the parnasa.
I'm just planning to have a large family of members.
Yeah. As the pasuk says, you open up your hand, and you give to every living thing what it wants. So we see that if the famine ends and there's going to be plenty of food, automatically then those people will be alive. So what's the point of giving it to dead people? How do we know that you're not supposed to daven for two things at once? The pasuk says, when Ezra and his group of Jews were coming from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, they were very afraid. The roads were very dangerous. The pasuk says, "Vanatzumo vanevakshem elakenu alzois." We fasted and we davened to the Eibishter about this. This called the itachriti, implying there were other pressing things that they should have been davening about at that time also. But you only ask for one thing at a time, so that's what they did. Amri b'shmei Rav Chaga mehocha. In the name of Rav Chaga, they said we have a different source for this idea. The pasuk says in Daniel, you have the story over there where Nebuchadnezzar has his dream about the great big statue that gets knocked down by the rock. He forgets the dream, he doesn't know what it means. He calls in all his wise men, none of them can explain it. They can't even tell him what the dream was. He gets all angry and threatens to kill all of them, and Daniel is also in danger. So he gets together himself, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, to daven the Eibishter should tell him the secret. And the pasuk says, V'rachman l'mivav min kodem al-kashmaya al-roza d'na, to ask from the Eibishter in heaven, Rachmanus al-roza d'na, about this secret. Again, Makhlal de'ichachriti, implying that there was another secret they could have been asking about as well, but one thing at a time. On the pasuk over there, Sadi Goin says actually that the other secret was there was a second dream that Nebuchadnezzar had as well, which is talked about later in Sefer Daniel. He dreamt of a giant tree that was chopped down, etc. And Daniel tells him that's the whole story where he's going to become crazy and live like an animal for 7 years. But right now, this wasn't the pressing thing, so they left it for later. Another story. Bimei Reb Zera, Godur Gzera. In the times of Reb Zera, the government made a Gzera.
And actually, in uncensored editions of the Gemara, it says that it was actually a shmad, gozer shmada. The gozer the lola mesa b'tanisa, and on top of that, they made a gzera that nobody should fast. Now, why not? So Rashi said, Rashi evidently had the girsa, like Rabbi Chananel has, that it wasn't two gzeras, it was one gzera. The authorities, the goyim, made a gzera that you're not allowed to declare public fast. Why is that? Rashi says, it's like al-derech cutting off your nose to spite your face. They didn't want that there should come to bracha to the world because of the Jewish people. They're willing, fine, we'll go hungry, we'll go thirsty, or whatever. Abi, the Jewish people shouldn't get the credit. You still have people like that, yeah. According to the Girsa, that it was two different things. And what it means is they made a Gzeira of Shmad, and then on top of that, they knew, so what's going to happen? Jewish people are going to make a fast and daven today, b'shen or v'nis batel. So they figured they'll head it off then. You can't make a fast. What happened? Amalehu Rav Zera, Nikabla Ilavon, let's accept the fast on us now. Ulechi Batal Gzeira, and when the Gzeira or the Shmad or whatever is Batal, Leisvei, then we'll actually hold the fast. Right now, we'll just commit to doing it. And that'll already help. Amuleis, they said to him, Menalacha, where do you get this idea from? Amalehu Dechiv, because it says in a pasuk in Daniel, Vayomer Elai, Altiro Daniel, the Malach says to me, don't be afraid, Daniel, Kimina Yomer Rishon Asher Nasata Es Libcha Lahavin Lozanes Es Nealekecha, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to fast before Hashem, Nishmu Dvaracha, your words have been heard. So already when you committed to taking on that fast, already the Eivishter heard your tefillah.
Same for a tzibur?
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, if it works for Yochid, how much more so for a tzibur? But
well,
the Rebbe...
Yeah,
okay, a tzibur is a tzibur, though, yeah. The Rebbe used to quote this all the time to illustrate the idea that when you accept a new achlata, a good achlata on yourself, individually, collectively, or whatever, then the Eivishter already gives you credit for it. That already brings brachas from the Eivishter. You have to follow through on the commitment, of course, but yeah. Ve'amar Rav Yitzchak, not Ve'amar, Amar Rav Yitzchak, afilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu, even if you have years like the years of Eliyahu, the years of the famine in Eliyahu's time, remember we learned a few blocks ago that Eliyahu had sworn that for 3 years there's not going to be tal u'mater, so we said, okay, there was tal, but it wasn't lebracha, whatever. So even if you have years like that, years of a terrible drought, v'yodu kshamim v'aveh shabbosis, and rain falls on Friday, ain't an elosimin klala. It's nothing but a simon klala. Because on Friday, people have to go shopping for Shabbos. Or not shopping, really. It's supposed to be the shop on Thursday. But, Rashi says over here, l'chazib ha-shuk l'chnesudas Shabbos. They have to go around in the marketplace to buy their Shabbos stuff. But whatever, you're preparing for Shabbos. The rain interferes with that. Heinu d'omer Rava Bar Shila, and this fits together with what Rava Bar Shila said, Kosha yoyma demitra ki yoyma dedina. A day of rain is as bad, is as difficult as a day of din. What does that mean? Rashi says it means like this. On Mondays and Thursdays, which are the days that Beis Din sits, there's a tremendous tumult in the city. Everybody's coming and going and bringing their arguments and so forth. A day of rain is like that. A day of rain is like that. So when it happens on Friday, it's even worse. You're already busy running around on Friday to get everything done, and then you have the rain on top of that. Having said that, though, the Marsha has a girsa that the word is not ki yom adinu, but rather bi yom adinu. Rain is bad when it's on the yom adin because then it prevents people from coming to the basin. Omar Amemer, Eloy de Tzarech L'Rav Yosa, if not for the fact that rain is needed by people, Rain and Rachamim about linen law, we would daven about it and be mevatel it. Because that's it. Rain sometimes has a very negative effect. Yeah, it can be an inconvenience. Yeah, or in the Riach and Ein Yaakov, explains that sometimes also, I mean, you can have that rain can actually be destructive. It can flood, etc. When the sun shines on Shabbos, it's a tzedakah for the poor people. But they're able to enjoy it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'zorcha lachem yirei shmi." It'll shine for you those who fear my name. Shemesh tzedakah umarpe, a son of tzedakah and healing. So why tzedakah for the poor people? So Rashi says because the rest of the week they're busy. They don't have time to enjoy the sun. Shabbos they do. A couple of other mafarshim talk about different other ideas. One of them is that usually a person gets warmed up by their work. Shabbos, you don't work. So you might get cold. When the sun shines, then you're able to warm up with it. In Chassidus, it talks about the Maimer in the Kutta Torah, with Dibra Maschla, I don't remember just now, but something about Rosh Chodesh that talks about the deeper meaning of it. The aniyim over here that we're talking about is ein oni el b'das, the Gemara says in Nedarim. An oni means somebody who's lacking das. So what do we mean? We're talking about a person who, during the week, is only able to experience das tachtein, a perception of the world, the way that we human beings down here see it. When on Shabbos you have the shemesh, you have the open el akus that's more revealed on Shabbos, and then you're able to reach das elyon, then that's the healing for the person. A day of rain is a great thing that even a pruta in a person's pocket gets a bracha. Which means, so Rashi says it means that even something that has nothing at all to do with the rain. A pruta was minted long ago. It has nothing to do with the rain, but still, it gets a bracha from the rain as well. Marsha says specifically we're talking about a pruta because when it rains, prices go down. Prices of food go down because there'll be plenty in the world. So therefore, a pruta stretches further. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Lasei sitar arz chabi," to give the rain of your land in its time. Olavarech kol masi yadecha, and to bless all of the works of your hands. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, "Ena bracha mitzuya al b'davar asomim min ha'ayin."
What? Because
the
guy who's growing.
The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, "Ena bracha mitzuya al b'davar asomim min ha'ayin." A bracha is only found in something that's hidden from the eye. We don't know the actual amount of it. Hashem will command the bracha to you in your asamecha. The simple meaning of an asam is like a silo, an area where you store your grain or whatever. The Gemara is darshaning, the Rabbi Yitzchak is darshaning the word asamecha, meloshin samui, hidden.
Hidden.
And one reason for it is, because the Eibishter usually, doesn't choose to do open nisim. Usually, the Eibishter cloaks nisim and darkei hateva. So if you know there's X amount of money in this wallet, for example, then Eibishter is not going to make it, so to speak, magically grow more. But if you don't know anyway, then it can become more without you knowing. A bracha is only found in something that the eye does not control it. The same thing. First, I'm talking about, is he saying the same thing as Rabbi Yitzchak, just in different words, are there differences? You could have a case, for example, where you can't see the thing, but you know how much of it is. There's a Tanabanan in this connection. Hanichnas lomodis grower. Now, if somebody comes in to measure the amount of grain in his silo, in his threshing floor, which, why would he be measuring it? One reason Mephoshim say is to give Truma and Meister from it. Oimer, before that, he should say, it should be your will, Hashem, that you should send a bracha in the works of our hands. His chilomod, once he actually starts measuring, Oimer, he should say a bracha, Baruch HaShaleich bracha b'kriyazeh, blessed is Hashem who sends a bracha into this pile. The bracha that it becomes bigger, basically. And we don't just mean baruch, you know, it's a full-fledged bracha, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, in Shulchan Aruch it says that, first of all, for one thing it talks about, that we're talking about it, you're measuring only for the sake of bringing truma to maestris. We in Chutz La'aretz don't do truma and maestris, so therefore not necessarily should you be saying these brachas, or at best you should be saying them without shame or malchus. Modod b'achkach berach, first measured his grain and then says the bracha. How is it tefillah shav? That is, it's a vain tefillah. L'pishen a bracha matsuya loy b'davar shokul, because the bracha is not found in something that's weighed, loy b'davar modod, or in something that's measured, loy b'davar monery, or in something that is that's counted. Elo b'davar asomim min ha'ayin, but only in something that's hidden from the eyes. The next few things, we'll get to the end of the Amud because tomorrow's Friday and we have short time anyway, but these next five things, the simon, we're giving a simon for key words of each of them, kibbutz, gayosis, tzedaka, maiser, actually it should be maiser, and paranas, simon. We're going to have each of these as a key word of each of the next five teachings of Rabbi Yechanan. We'll do some of them today and some tomorrow. Amud Rabbi Yechanan, godo yoyim ha'gshomim kiyem kibbutz galiyus. The day, a day when rain falls, is as great as the day when the Eibishter gathers together the Golos. Shenema, Shuva Hashem Esfisenu, Ka'afikim Ba'Negev. Hashem, return our captives like the Afikim in the Negev, in the dry land. Ve'en Afikim. Well, Ve'en Afikim, Alamatra. Afikim refers to, Afikim literally means channels. Like the valleys over there where you have the wadis or whatever, you have the temporary rivers that form after rainfalls. And the word afikim refers to matzah, refers to rain. Shenemar vayiro afikim yam. The sources of the yam were revealed. So we see that afik means something having to do with water. So afikim and negev means like water, like rain falling in the negev. That's the first one. So that's the kibbutz gali. V'amar Rabbi Yechanan, Godo yemak shomem shafil gayosis paiskisbay. A day of rain is a great thing. Even armies stop marauding when there's rain. Shenema, the pasuk that we quoted before, Slameha Rabe, you'll fill up its furrows, Naches Gedudeha, and you'll calm down. Gedudeha means the word Gedud means a group of people, like God Gedudi Gedenu, like a troop. So here we mean it in the sense of it, like a troop of soldiers. As soon as there's rain, even the soldiers quiet down and then stop marauding. So the pastors, they only go marauding when there's not enough food around. When there's plenty of food, then yeah. Rain is only held back because of people who promise tzedakah in public, because like they want to give, like they want to get themselves like a big name, you know. Oh, this guy made such a big mishaberach for X amount of money. They ain't a noisin, but then they don't end up giving it. Which Rashi points out, it's not only barabim. I mean, the same thing would be if a person promises in private. But usually, if a person promises tzedakah in private, he's not trying to make a name for himself. So fine, he'll pay it off. But if a person does it in public, he may just have been doing it for show, and then he doesn't end up paying. Then that might be a typical case where a person afterwards shirks on it. Shenema.
Afterwards
he shirks on it. He made a big mishabedach, and then afterwards he doesn't get around to paying it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Nesiyim v'ruach v'geshem ayin. There's clouds, there's wind, but there's no rain. Ish mishalol b'matas sheker. A person who gets himself praised with a false gift. That's what it's saying. In other words, he pledges a gift. Tzedakah, but it's false because he doesn't end up doing it, and therefore you end up with v'geshem, that even though there's clouds and wind, v'geshem ayin, that there's no rain. Which Rashi points out, it's kind of lefnim mishurat hadin. He acts, you know, he makes big promises and then he doesn't end up fulfilling them. So the same thing, like there's clouds and there's rain, there's clouds and there's wind, there's all the promise of rain, and then nothing happens. Yeah.